Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone. Woo.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Woo! Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we got Shay. We've got Randy. We got you on this Hoodwink Tuesday, an opportunity for you to win a Lou Malnati's gift card with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. As always, we appreciate you keeping the conversation going on this show and every day right here on Chicago's home for sports. Still to come, we'll get a chance to talk to Albert Breer. We talk to him every Tuesday at 8:35. But speaking of football and speaking of the Bears, Cap, you know, we're getting ready for the Bears and their matchup here coming off the bye. But ultimately, when we are watching the NFL, more so than the Bears, watching the NFL, especially this past Sunday, watching, you know, the Red Zone and being able to check out 10 hours of glorious NFL football, it makes you wonder, especially the playoff teams, like, when will the Bears, when will the Blue and Orange get there? When will they be in the postseason? It's one thing to enjoy 17 weeks and, of course, everything before that with the training camp and all the optimism and all the what-ifs. But it would be great to see the Bears in the playoffs and not just a pop-up store like our buddy Sylvie says. I'm talking about being a perennial power in the NFC. That would be great to see.
So a good friend of mine who I went to school with, he scouts in the league, and we were having this conversation, and then I go do the Long Snapper of the Year Award the other day, the Patrick Manley Award for Bernie's Book Bank, and there was a guy there who scouts. And I'm talking to him, and he said, yeah, I've scouted in the league for a while. I said, how long till we get this thing turned around? He goes, David, at least 3 years until you are where you we're a contender, at least. He said, years. Those should be better next year.
Mm-hmm.
He said, 2024, I think you could contend to win the division. Maybe. Maybe, he goes, and you got to hit on almost everything. He said, 2025 is more realistic where you could be a, you know, well, that's a pretty damn good football team. But he said, A, you got to acquire so much talent, then depth, and you have to learn how to win. He said, that's a lot to accomplish.
You know, with that timeline, for me, the Cubs would be in the playoffs before the Bears.
Oh, I think...
Because I told you that 24 should be the year that you could kick the door down and get in the mix for the playoffs.
Yeah, he said 24 you could contend maybe in your division.
Mm-hmm.
He does not see you being like making a run and sustainable run in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He said zero chance.
I guess the question when I hear that, the question I would say is why can't the Bears be Cincinnati? If we believe in Justin Fields as a quarterback and that he is going to be the future of this football team, then what's to say that the Bears in free agency in the draft, how can they ring the bell on a wide receiver or an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman that can make a difference? Can they turn around, say, in 2 years to get difference makers on the field, especially through free agency? That's the quickest way to get it done.
That and the draft, absolutely. But if you really, really look at the Cincinnati situation,
mm-hmm.
Burrow more advanced as a passer than Justin early in his career. I think Justin's going to be a hell of a player. I'm glad he's our guy, A. B, they have Chase, Higgins, Boyd, Joe Mixon. They've got a lot in terms of skill position weapons that we don't have.
Had to build toward that, though.
True.
And there was some parts that were there that were just underachieving. Team wasn't ready to win. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a moribund franchise like the Cincinnati Bengals were able to get there. We were talking about this the other day, how this team was cheap and just, you know, wasn't very good, didn't have a lot of talent for years, and didn't have a commitment to winning, quite frankly. And now look at where they are. All I'm saying is, Cap, with an extra wild card. And again, for me, I always look at the playoffs for any of our teams differently, maybe than most. Everyone wants the Super Bowl yesterday. And I understand that because the expectation is big boy market, you're the Bears, you should do whatever it takes to get there. My viewpoint for any of our teams that we cover on a daily basis is rung on the ladder. Mm-hmm. Rung on the ladder is that you get in the playoffs. Next rung on the ladder is to be able to have sustained success in the in-set playoffs and then get to the championship. So, again, everyone's not blessed to be able to be a champion in any given year. But I just want you to be able to be in the mix, Cap. It doesn't make sense to just get to the playoffs and then 3 years you're away. Then all of a sudden, two or three years later, you're back in. You want to be where the Packers are in the North as far as at least getting into the playoffs. That's what I want for this Bears team. And so when he says 3 years, Cap, okay, so that would be, what, year four of this new regime?
That would be 22, 23, 24, 25, year four of this regime.
Okay, so that means, say, for instance, the Bears don't get to the playoffs next year or the year after.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll start worrying about Eberflus.
Mm-hmm.
Will he make it when the Bears get to the playoffs? The next time they get to the playoffs?
That's a great question.
Because if you say 25, I know you and I know me, we don't have very much patience.
But what if it's a pop-up in 24?
Mm-hmm.
A pop-up. Oh, they got 10 wins, and they got to the playoffs 2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, they take a step back again. I mean, look at Arizona. They thought they were trending, this ascending franchise. They paid $250 million or whatever it was for their quarterback. He blew his ACL last night, and he's probably going to miss most of next year.
Yeah, and I know I was supposed to wait for 8:18 for this, Shay, but the hot take I have is that Kingsbury and Kyler Murray will never be together again.
Yeah, that's probably true. Kingsbury's going to get clipped.
That's it. After last night, Cap, that's the end of that. They'll never be quarterback coach again. And you're right. Here's a team here that's supposed to be on the rise, supposed to have an offensive imagination. Mm-hmm. And Kyler Murray's he's just not that guy, Cap. But Justin Fields can be, and that's why I feel good about it. I think Justin Fields can be. But 25, you and I are not that patient. Like 23, you should be making dividends of making sure that you're getting some quality players, especially on that defensive line. Got to get to the quarterback. And the wide receivers, we know it's bottom shelf. When you and I saw the depth chart, I said, Cap, do you see any difference makers there beside Darnell Mooney? Question mark of what Cole Kmet could be? And then the rest of it's like, that guy, Marcet, St. Brown, that's not it.
Pringle.
You did it on purpose. It's not sabotage, but you did it on purpose.
Correct.
How can the kid get through these obstacle courses?
But that, Hoodie, you're preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. We both said it. They were not trying to win this year.
Mm-mm.
At all. They let a ton of talent walk out, and people were calling in going, Khalil didn't have that good a year, neither did Hicks, neither did this guy. I get it. They also didn't replace them, A. Mm-hmm. B, they're paying over $90 million, I think $93 million in dead cap money. It means guys are playing for other people, but counting on our cap. They were not ever trying to win. Ever. That's a fact. So you look at the holes that they have on this roster. At least two edge rushers. At least. At least two interior guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking like big time.
Yeah.
That's four. You need another corner. That's five. You need another, like a Will linebacker. That's six.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gone to the offense yet.
Right.
At least two offensive linemen. That's eight. At least two wide receivers that are big time players. That's 10. We're at 10 guys.
So I expect that after 24 to be in the playoffs.
After 24. You
at the 24 postseason. Why can't I get to the playoffs at 24? With all the, well, you mentioned the laundry list of things that the Bears need. I agree with you. I mean, you can't turn a blind eye to it because there's holes all over this roster. I get it. But why can't the Bears in the 24 postseason be in the playoffs?
I just don't know if it's realistic that you're going to address all those holes and hit on everyone. Remember we had Joe Banner on?
Yeah.
Joe Banner used to be the president of the Eagles and the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Banner said you have a hit rate in the first round roughly 50%.
Yeah.
Give or take where you're picking, couple points here or there.
Man, it's got to be high in the draft, though, Cap. No more middling. No more bottom of the draft. Trenton Gill, I need you to be able to get some quality.
Correct. And he said if you're hitting on a 50% rate, let's call it 60% because you're going to pick in the top five. 60%. That means 4 out of 10 miss.
I know.
Miss.
And by the way, if you miss in the to the middle to the bottom of the draft, like, you know what? If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, that's why you cut guys or you put them on special teams. But I need them to be able to hit high in the draft.
Correct.
High.
Ryan Pace had 4 top 10 picks. None of them are on the roster.
I give him credit for the middle to the bottom. That's fine. That's because it worked out. No, you pay for quality. You get high draft picks because you want them on the field paying dividends for your team right away. That's what you want.
Right.
So Shay, I think I know what your answer is going to be when Cap's buddy says 25 after the 25 season. Is that too far away, or should they be able to get to the playoffs in 24?
It's too far for me. I just think we see in this league teams build much quicker than that. And the thing that really makes it difficult for me, and borderline unacceptable actually, like the organization cannot be thinking 2025. It can't be. Because guess what happens in 2025? You got to pay Justin Fields. You cannot be non-competitive the entirety of his rookie contract. If that's the way the organization's thinking, then maybe the bozos that are talking about trading Fields and resetting the clock are onto something. Because you can't waste his entire rookie contract being non-competitive. It's just not acceptable.
And my hope is that he becomes a much better quarterback, Cap, in that by 2025, I hope he doesn't blow a piston.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, we got all the players we need. Oh, the quarterback's not available. Oh, we got to get some, got the scrap heap to try to piecemeal the season together.
Okay, but he just said not acceptable. He's got to be competitive in his rookie contract. That's how you're going to make dumb deals, in my opinion. That's how you're going to over. Oh, we can get Mike Evans, who's going to turn 31. Yeah, I'll give you a high pick. Oh, he's not that Mike Evans. He's an older Mike Evans. Or an older DeAndre Hopkins. You get these name guys, you're like, he doesn't look like he did in his 20s. No blank.
I like the Theo rule in that regard. If you're after 30, unless I could just use you just for a one-off, that's fine. But you can't be someone I can rely on after you're 30. In this league, no. It's a young players league at skill positions.
Right. And this guy wasn't being, you know, trying to rip the Bears. We were just having this discussion.
Oh, sure.
And he just said, you have no depth on your roster. He said, even if, let's assume, some of the guys who are young, you like, they go down, you got no one behind them. Mm-hmm. He said, you got to stack 3 drafts at least to be able to have depth on a roster.
So we're bare. We're really barren of
barren
talent.
He said
like the
second, in his opinion, the second worst roster in the NFL.
And Texans are one?
Number one.
Yeah, I figured that. And that's probably how the draft's going to go. Right?
Right.
Hello?
Right.
The Texans definitely will be number one.
Now, if you want to take the bright side approach, look at Denver. They've already paid their quarterback. He doesn't look great.
Mm-hmm.
They have no draft capital because they gave it all up to Seattle. So they cleared everything out and bet on Russell. The Bears have a young quarterback who looks like he's going to be really special. Seattle, they got a bunch of picks. That reclamation project, Geno Smith playing really well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a way better team than anyone gave him credit for.
But you know, from my standpoint, that's got to be sustained success. Like, Geno Smith to me is a placeholder for Seattle.
Agreed.
Because of whatever's next. And who knows where they're going to find the next quarterback. But I can take solace in the fact that at least we have a young quarterback for the next decade where we could say, you know, you can mold and shape him into something special.
Mm-hmm.
And if his ceiling is Jalen Hurts or past Jalen Hurts, I'll be glad with that. I'll be very happy to see that. But have weapons around him. Can't win by himself. Ask Kyler Murray, can you win by yourself?
Correct.
Didn't work out, right? So let's do this, Randy. Let's open the phone lines here this morning. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I want to find out from you, do you have patience for the Bears to turn it around within 3 years? Again, this is just a conversation that Cap had with a scout friend about where the Bears are. What do you think? 3 years for the Bears to get to the playoffs? What's your gut say about the Bears this morning on Cap and Jay Hood?
That's why I say amen, I shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
amen, I shot. Good morning and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Hope that you have a great Tuesday. Well, the open phone lines for you at 312-332-3776. At this time every day, we give you Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be Points Bet Sportsbook and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. If you want to play the ponies like I do, good morning, Secretariat, wherever you are. Hope your hay is nice and moist. What?
God, go ahead.
Hay is nice and moist.
Yeah, it's easier to chew that way, I'm sure.
This is a family show.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Go to Club Hawthorne. You can win $12,000. They're going to give away cash on New Year's Day. Snorling.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I'm hoping everybody's hay is nice and moist this morning.
Well, it certainly is. Thanks for asking. Absolutely. All right, my friend. What do you have for Shot or No Shot?
All right, well, we saw last night in Monday Night Football, Kyler Murray was injured. There may actually be a silver lining in that injury as it relates to the Chicago Bears. Next week, the Cardinals will play the Denver Broncos without Kyler Murray. This is significant because the Broncos are currently the only thing between the Bears and the number two pick. If the Broncos beat the Cardinals, the Bears will vault into a virtual lock for the second pick in the draft. So Shot or No Shot. Even the hapless Denver Broncos will beat the Cardinals without Kyler Murray.
This is without Russell Wilson, more than likely, correct? Is that the Denver Broncos? What do you think, Cap?
I mean, how banged up is Russell Wilson? He looked like see that mouse under his eye?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was, or maybe it was right above his eye, actually. He was messed up, plus concussion protocol. So, is he back? If it's Brett Rippon, I'm not sure whatever, two bad teams. Russell Wilson, the way he was playing the second half till he got hurt, yeah, I would say they'd beat the Cardinals without Kyler Murray.
I think that is a shot. I think that is a shot. You know, just watching that Cardinal outfit without Kyler Murray, it wasn't good with him, but without him, I was watching, is that Colt McCoy was a quarterback last night?
Yes.
Cap, that's a rough outfit. You talk about our offensive line, the Bears offensive line. My God. Like, Colt McCoy was holding the ball too long, and there was no chance at all for him. So I would say there's a shot to that. Absolutely. All right, Shay.
Before I get this next Shot or No Shot question, I just want to, we have a little bit of breaking news. This from Sid Salter at Mississippi State. Coach Mike Leach passed away last night from complications related to a heart condition. He was a giving and attentive husband, father, and grandfather. The statements from his family. He was able to participate in an organ donation at UMMC as a final act of charity. So would just like to send condolences to the Leach family.
Boy, that is just so sad. He's one of my favorite personalities in American sports. That guy was awesome.
You know, it is interesting because every year, no matter what team that he coached, Cap, he always was able to put a smile on your face or made you think, because he would just say the most outrageous things. Coaches, as you well know, super serious, right? A lot more times not super serious guys that are only focused on the football, and he always had time to go to kind of color outside the lines, either to a sideline reporter or to the press, and it's like, wait, aren't you serious about this game? Yeah, he was serious about the game, but also added a personality, Randy. So in your career, Randy, you could think about it, over the 30 years of coaches that were colorful but also were very good at what they did.
Yeah, and it's so. It's amazing, Hoodie, just in the last day or two on social media, the stories that people are telling, like the interactions they had, just local reporters with him, and just how down-to-earth he was. And, you know, every coach over the last 24 hours tweeted out prayers for Mike Leach. So, I mean, he affected the coaching community. He was with Bob Stoops at Oklahoma. He was the offensive coordinator there. He's credited with really, you know, creating that kind of offense that so many teams, the spread offense, are running right now. So it's just a terrible loss, and just the way he affected so many local writers. I was reading all these crazy stories that how he just, you know, hung out with these guys and just talked not only ball but life with them too. So very, very, very sad news.
You just love a different. He was a different personality in a super serious sport like college football. Got to worry about the portal. Got to worry about players, wins and losses. Are you going to get fired? He just had fun while he was coaching.
He did.
So he's quite a bright personality that we've lost here this morning.
Yeah, very sad. So Mike Leach gone at the age of just 61. Very sad.
In the middle of Shot or No Shot, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right, yeah, back to Shot or No Shot. No easy transition out of that. Very sorry to hear that news this morning. But I want to ask a question about the Bears' left tackle. Braxton Jones has achieved what's really a rare feat, starting every game at left tackle, despite being just a fifth-round pick from an FCS school. Jones has excelled in the past month. In the past month of games, Braxton Jones has allowed only four pressures, no hits, no sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Eberflus spoke yesterday about what Braxton Jones has left to improve on.
Yeah, Braxton's been solid. As you guys know, he's done a good job, you know, for a rookie to be able to play in there. All these, you know, his maturity and, you know, and handle everything he's been handling. You know, I think he would say it too, is that he's just got to really firm up on the bull rushes. You know, I think that's the biggest thing he's got to do, take a good set, you know, be able to firm his inside leg there and stay firm in the pocket. So, you know, he's got to really do a good job these next 4 weeks. And, again, this is a big challenge this week. You know, obviously they got a big wave, couple waves of defensive line, probably the deepest defensive line in the whole league. And it's going to be a big challenge for our offensive line for sure.
So a lot of honesty and a lot of accountability there from Coach Eberflus. Shot or no shot, Braxton Jones will develop into a mainstay at left tackle for the Bears.
That's a no shot, right, Cap?
At this point, now again, he's got to get everybody I've read that know a lot more about offensive line play than you and I will ever know, say that he has got to get light years stronger and get a wider base, more size into his body. So there's a long, long way to go there. But I think it's a good first step, a fifth-round pick who's started every game to this point. That's very encouraging.
You were saying that there's a good possibility he could be on the right side.
If they go out and get the right guy at left tackle, mm-hmm. whoever that is. We saw Teron Armstead go to Miami last offseason. You don't know which guy gets traded. Oh, I want out of here, and Chicago's got the money, they could pay me. Boom. Then move him over to right, because I think you got a hole at right.
I will keep the same energy for Braxton Jones as I will for Justin Fields or for Brisker and Gordon or whatever rookie or young player that we see come through Chicago, Cap, because it is a process. I can't throw I could say, hey, Braxton Jones playing well, but is he going to be the guy? Well, that's all about development and strength if he's going to be a mainstay on this offensive line. So, and this is where I will push back on people that will see a young player and cast aspersions on a young player in the first 6-7 games. You're like, that guy can't play. Well, I mean, you got to wait for a couple years to find out if Braxton Jones can develop. So the same way I look at our other rookies or young players, I'll look at Braxton Jones the same way. The hope is that the Bears are right about Braxton Jones. So that way you don't have to worry about it here in the offseason.
It'd be amazing. If they truly believe he's the left tackle of the future, awesome. Get in the weight room, get into the dining hall, get as big and strong as you can. Let's go.
I'm hoping that on this roster right now, there's two or at least three guys on this offensive line. You say, well, we don't have to worry about necessarily going out, paying through the nose for or going through the draft to get someone to replace some of these guys. In the next few games and in evaluation, hopefully they can look at them and say, hey, you know what? Braxton Jones is going to be a guy. Or, you know, Sam Mustipher is going to be a guy. Or Tevin Jenkins is going to be a part of our future. Because the idea that you got to revamp this whole offensive line, now it will be 25 or 26 before you get to the playoffs if you don't get this offensive line right.
Mustipher talked yesterday about, yes, we got to keep getting better, but we have to learn how to win. I think that's what Yurko and Sylvie were arguing last week. And both things could be true. You need better players, and you need to learn how to win. It's not mutually exclusive.
I will say that he will be could be a mainstay on this offensive line, Shea. If it's left tackle, it's left tackle. But it's time to look at some of these young players and say, we're going to ride with them, and those guys are going to improve.
Yeah, I think the good news here is, like, Jenkins, I think, has solidified himself as somebody who will be on this offensive line as long as he wants to play football. That's kind of been the only question. The injury stuff's been a little odd. But having Braxton Jones look like a guy who's going to be around, only having to overhaul, you know, 3/5 of the line is a lot better than having to do the whole thing.
Shay.
The Cubs have been effectively removed from most reporting on teams likeliest to sign Carlos Correa this offseason. Steve Phillips said on MLB Network that the Giants and Twins are the favorites to land Correa in free agency. Correa and Dansby Swanson, the last two premier shortstops available, and the Cubs are looking ever more likely to be stuck holding the bag. Shot or no shot, the Cubs need to sign one of these two shortstops.
That's a shot. You cannot send letters to your fan base and say, we're going to be active in free agency. You can't tell the media, yeah, Jed's got money left from last year, and he's got money to spend and all of that, and then not find a way to get a deal done. And you could tell me, I'm not giving anybody a 10 or 11 or 12-year deal. Then sell the team.
Yeah.
And I believe the Ricketts are giving Jed the ability. Here's a pot of money. We're not telling you how to spend it. You spend it. That's your job. And I think Jed's trying to do what he thinks is right. I don't want to get locked up on one of these long deals. I don't think it's right. I don't think we're ready. Okay, then you better have a plan to be competitive. You cannot continue to ask people to pay for the most expensive experience in baseball. That's number one when you factor in parking and food and everything else. Mm-hmm. I think they're third in tickets, third or fourth. Just the ticket cost. Please spend all that money, and we're running Frank Schwindel and whoever else out there.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
Can't do it. Can't have it both ways.
I would agree with you in that regard. I don't know why Jed is hesitant to at least dip his toe in the water for a Correa or for a Swanson. Now, again, it's still, you know, you're still in the middle of free agency, so we'll see what happens. But if this is all you're going to do, then that's one step, but you take further steps, especially when the owner's giving you the green light. I mean, you're not the White Sox, in which you just feel like your core is just good enough and think that you're going to win the World Series with that.
And I don't think they think they're going to win a World Series next year. I think they feel like they can be competitive in that division.
Well, that's not good enough. That's what I'm talking about. As a Sox fan, that's not good enough. When the door is open for the next five to eight years,
you're in a different place than the guys on the north side.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
your team. I don't know what your team's doing.
Just sticking with the core, you know, and not even trying to be, not trying to even look into making deals or not executing deals to make the team better. What's your deal? You sent Abreu away. I had no problem with that. I love Abreu, but I understand why you did it. Vaughn's batting the lineup every day, so he's going to be at first base. And then what? What else you got?
I mean, how are you not the ones that get Sean Murphy? Why does he end up in Atlanta?
I agree with that.
And you were in on those discussions. It's not as though you didn't want him.
Yeah, let me just tell you. I just want the general manager to generally manage the team. You're always going to have input, Cap. There's always going to be people in the room. I understand general manager is a lonely place in any sport, correct? General manager can be a lonely place. However, and there's always going to be people in the room to give you a little influence or give you a little advice, what I have no problem with. But ultimately, the general manager has to generally manage the team and make decisions. Right?
He does, but at some point,
well,
you have to go outside your comfort zone.
Well, you say he does, but does he really?
Well, if his owner won't give him any money, then there's nothing he can do.
A little lower than the owner.
Kenny?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, they have to be on the same page. They have to be.
Well, I get it, but I mean, there's a general manager in place to make these moves. Let the guy generally manage the team.
Now, I will tell you, agreed, but you can only spend what you're allowed to spend. We could sit here and go, Rick Hahn, Jed Hoyer, what are you doing? They have to be given the wherewithal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jed has the money to spend. I don't think he has the appetite at this point in his rebuild to spend it. And Carlos Baerga, you remember him?
Oh, yeah. The old Cleveland Indian.
So he's active on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Baerga, verified account.
Mm-hmm.
Gold or blue, I don't know.
Yes.
We'll get to that later. Carlos Baerga had tweeted 2 weeks ago, Justin Verlander is going to the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the money.
Yeah.
He has posted today, Carlos Baerga says he believes, and he put him in his uniform, he believes Carlos Correa will sign with the Twins.
Hmm.
How about that?
Okay. Now he's a newsbreaker now.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Carlos Baerga.
In Spanish, but he's a newsbreaker.
All right. Coming up, we'll go around the NFL, some news and notes for you that you need to know regarding football. And Albert Breer will be with us at every Tuesday at 8:35. He's going to be with us to talk to us about the Bears and the National Football League. All part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood.
Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he falls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It is time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'd like to remind you, coming up at 8:50, we have a chance for you to win tickets. You want to go see college basketball? The Intersport Legends of Basketball Showcase is going to be at the United Center. We'll give away tickets coming up at 8:50 right here on ESPN 1000. We go around the National Football League. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, I'm going to start with the teams that are going to be coming to see the Bears the next couple of weeks. The Bears will play the Eagles this weekend. Then after that, you get a little reprieve with the Buffalo Bills. Currently, Bills versus Eagles is the favorite for the Super Bowl matchup at virtually every sports book that you look at, 6-1. Best odds you can find. So my question, between the Eagles and the Bills, which team is better right now and which team has the higher upside for the rest of the season?
Eagles or Bills?
Or Bills.
Boy, I'd have to... I've been so big on Buffalo, but then they lost Von Miller for the year. Their quarterback's got an elbow thing that's been ongoing for him. Right now, I'd have to say the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm rooting for the Bills to win it.
We both have a ticket.
Yes.
For the Super Bowl.
Right now, today, I think the Eagles are healthier and playing better.
So with the Bills, you'd have to say no?
Right now, I'd have to say no, but that's who I'm rooting for.
Okay. I'm going to say that it's going to be the Eagles. That's how I feel, Shay. I think that the Eagles have an upside. And again, I like what Buffalo's doing. This has nothing to do with the Bills and their win against the Jets because it was 20-12 and people always like, the Bills aren't the same. No, the Bills are going to be a strong team, too. I'm just going to fly with the Eagles. I know you're listening, Philly Sid. Things are working out well for this Eagles team. They look dominant on all areas. So I'm going to go Philly in that spot.
Right now.
Shay?
All right. I also want to ask about Kyler Murray, who got injured last night, which changes things significantly for the Arizona Cardinals and their future. The injury is likely to be an ACL tear if that gets confirmed today with imaging. That means Kyler Murray is going to miss at least half of next season. Mm. What does that do for the Cardinals going forward?
Well, that is a new head coach for sure. And they will struggle unless they're going to draft a quarterback. Their future is not on that roster. It's not Colt McCoy, and obviously Murray hurt. They're going to have to kind of redo things.
But you've committed to, what did they sign him for? $250 million? Thereabouts? $230?
Yeah. But you got to draft one, Cap.
You're not taking a quarterback in the first round. No way.
Didn't say first round. So you got to draft one.
5 years, $230 million.
Yep. Got to draft one.
Yeah, maybe way down at the back end, but I would think they'll go get somebody in the offseason if they think it's an upgrade over Colt McCoy, like a Jacoby Brissett type.
Got to do what all Arizonans do. You go to a retirement home like Tom Brady. That will be Tom's last spot.
Tom's going to finish in San Francisco next year. You watch.
Okay. But to answer your question, though, Shay, directly, I think that it starts with the coach and the coaching staff. That has to change. The philosophy must change because the offense does not work, whether Kyler's there or not. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think the coach has to change, certainly. It's been a long experiment. It just hasn't
How
been
long
successful.
Has he been there?
4 or 5 years.
That's enough. That's a college coach.
Yeah, and he failed there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He failed
up. That's what I never got. He had a losing record at Texas Tech with Patrick effing Mahomes.
Well, yeah, he failed up in the job. That's very
rare.
Well,
he got named, Black, correct me if I'm wrong, was he not named the USC offensive coordinator and 4 or 5 weeks later he quit that job to become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, didn't he make it have a stop with the Packers too or no?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think he took the U.
You're right. He was going to USC and then he switched.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not Black, but that's correct.
No, he went straight from the NFL to, or from college to the NFL.
No, he got hired at USC as the OC was there
for
4 weeks.
What I'm saying is he went from college to the NFL. He had never had experience as a head coach, a winning head coach in college, losing record as a head coach, went straight to head coach in the NFL. No stop as coordinator. That's rare.
Just because he's sexy.
And because they liked that style and they were drafted Kyler Murray. Because they had the year before taken Josh Rosen and moved off him in 1 year.
Some of these NFL
and
teams.
And fired Brother Wilkes.
Yes. And Brother Wilkes has turned around in Carolina.
That was going to be my next question. So the reporting early was that Brother Wilkes has no chance to be the head coach of Carolina going forward. Don't they have to at least look at him and give him like an honest appraisal? What he's done there is miraculous.
That was as flat a team as you'll find, right, under Matt Rhule. Now Wilkes has turned things around. Yes, he should get a look, but that doesn't work all that much for the NFL, very much in that scenario. Not for guys like Steve Wilkes. Steve Wilkes will be there. Whatever happens, I'm sure he'll get an interview, Cap. I'm not sure if he'll keep the job. He should.
He should certainly be talked to and seriously considered.
NFL is very funny that way.
It is?
So I think he should. The way he was fired in one season in Arizona is Arizona, right?
Did he get only 1 year? Is that all he got?
It was the 1 year. Yeah, I know he was 1 year and out as a head coach. I believe it was at Arizona. That wasn't fair.
Steve Wilkes as a head coach, he had 2 years. He got fired midway through year two.
Of what team?
You're correct.
Just
only one
season
in Arizona and then half a year in Carolina. You're right. 2018, 3-13, get out.
Steve Wilkes was in the Arizona situation where they took Josh Rosen and then they just bombed them both out because they had the number one pick again. They got Kingsbury and Kyler Murray.
Correct.
How about that? See what I mean? Don't last very long.
Now, a guy like Sean McDermott, who I like a lot as a coach, he went 9-7 his first year, regressed to 6-10.
But
there was a little grumbling.
Yeah.
And that was the year the Bears beat them just like dogs in Buffalo, 41-9. And then he's gone 10-6, 13-3, 11-6, 10-3. He's rolling.
Yeah, stay the course.
Rolling.
Stay the course.
Yep.
Wilk should have an opportunity. Yes. Based on this turnaround from the Matt Rhule regime. Shay.
A little more controversy, as Carmen Yurko would say, with the eye in the sky last night. Hoodie Devontae Parker came down after a catch or a drop, I'm not sure which. But he got up, and I remember looking. He was dizzy. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't even collect his feet underneath him. And it took a fellow player notifying the coaching staff, get this guy off the field. The eye in the sky did not do the job and get him out of the game. The first quarter ended, and then after the start of the second quarter, they took him out of the game. What is going on with the concussion protocols in the NFL? Because this happened with Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett was hurt clearly after the Roquan Smith sack, came back out, and then got pulled to get tested again, put in concussion protocol.
I just don't understand when we have so much technology, how we can get this so wrong. You know, there was like 10, 15 years ago, we didn't have any of this. There was no eye in the sky. If a guy was got his bell rung, there was no blue tent.
They were smelling salts and get back in there.
Just, I don't understand, Cap, how we can be so progressive by being able to have technology where you can look and see. Is it tough to watch all 22? No. I mean, if you have multiple people up there, that eye in the sky didn't see that. Now, if there's no eye in the sky, that guy's lined up to play again, and he's clearly concussed. I saw that video. I'll send it to you. I saw it on Twitter in real time, and I was like, what is going on here? Protect the player. He had no clue where he was. Yeah, he's wobbling out there.
Yeah, I don't know if eye in the sky can tell from that distance, but you've got an independent doctor on each sideline. That's the one that's more concerning.
If Hoodie and I can tell from our couch, the eye in the sky should be able to tell in the building. I mean, Cap, if you look at the video, he's either concussed or had 7 tequila shots.
I don't disagree, but yeah, you should be able to figure it out with a doctor on the sideline more than a guy who's 400 yards away. You got a guy looking at him.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to err on the side of caution here, I would think.
Thank God a player stepped up and said, hey, there's something wrong with him.
Correct.
Help him. Just like
that was Devontae Parker.
Yeah, just that's tough.
Yeah.
All right, that's a look around the National Football League. Tommy Waddle reminds us that Kingsbury has a 5-year extension that runs through 2027 with Arizona.
Correct. There's a lot of money. So we could think they're going to buy him out. These guys don't do that all the time. They just don't.
There's no answer there offensively for that Arizona team, whether it is Murray or not. There's no identity there offensively. It's not good enough. Got to draft one. Got to get in free agency. Get yourself a quarterback as well. Got to make changes there. Kyler Murray is not the guy. Can I officially say that? Just not the guy.
He's not well liked in the room. We keep hearing
production wise. Don't care about personality.
When you got to give a guy a $230 million contract and want to put a clause in, you remember this. You have to study X number of hours a week. Really? I have to make sure that I tell Hoodie to get to work on time?
Yeah, that's sad.
We got a problem.
Albert Breer on the NFL next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With you until 10 o'clock, and it'll be Mike Greenberg from 10 to noon, then Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvia at 2, Bleck and Abdallah at 6, and Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8 o'clock, all part of the mix here on Captain Jay Hood. Now, Randy, you were telling me there's going to be a little bit of a quirk in the Carmen and Yurko schedule today.
That's right, because Croatia is playing Argentina at 1 o'clock today. So Yurko, I think, is going to stay in the studio, but he's going to have the mic off and kind of just watching the game. So you people on Twitch will get a great shot of Yurko watching Croatia. And if you've ever watched any of the videos that Carm has sent out of Yurko,
yes,
I mean, it's intense how much he gets into this game. So he'll be watching the game from 1 to 3, 1 to 2 during his show, and then 2 to 3 upstairs, I assume, and hopefully Croatia wins.
That's the best.
Yeah, I got to give him credit. When they fell behind in extra time, he did not panic at all. I thought for sure someone scores, it's over.
Yurko's not a panicker.
He is not.
He is not. If they lost, he'd be like, tough loss, kid, and he'd go about his day. It might bother him, but he's not a panicker. Yurk would be the guy, you know, in a game, coming down to the end, got to make a play. He's not nervous. He could slow the thing down and do his job.
Did you see the video of him that Carm took during the game against Brazil?
Yes.
I saw it on Twitter, yes.
Looked a little nervous. I'm going to be honest.
He's just emotional because his country is up there on a main stage.
Yeah. This is a big deal. This is, you know.
We were talking earlier. Belichick has the Croatia emblem on his Patriots overshirt, like his hoodie that he wore coaching last night. Snorling told me he put it on as soon as the World Cup started. By the way, we do have a college football hiring of interest to people in Chicago.
How's that?
Purdue has hired their new head coach to replace Jeff Brohm.
Yeah.
He's a 36-year-old assistant from the University of Illinois. When was the last time an Illini assistant, Ryan Walters, their DC, is leaving Illinois to go be the head coach at Purdue? That's a pretty cool hire.
The reason why we haven't heard is because Illinois has been so bad. Why would you want any of their coaches?
Right, and but so, now they've gotten better.
And so now some of the coaches become appealing.
That's Illinois, number one in the country in defense.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
They do fly around.
They do.
I watching some of their games this year, I was very impressed how they were able to turn things around. Despite, I don't care the opponent. They were able to execute, and I like that.
100%.
So Cap is full of garbage, and we'll explain here why. So you have a problem at home that you've got to talk about.
Well, it's actually...
It's in your home.
Not in the home. It's outside the home.
It's part of the home.
Okay.
Is the garage... You have the... Is your garage attached?
Yes.
Okay.
It's part of the home. Okay.
So every Monday night...
No, Semantics Camp is the best cap. Semantics Camp. Go ahead.
Okay. Every Monday... Well, the way it was portrayed, it was like I had a problem with, like, Mindy or the kids or the dogs. No.
I said full of garbage. She's not garbage. She's my friend.
Yes. She is. So, every Monday night, I take the garbage cans out and all the empty Amazon boxes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's insane. I put all of those things next to the recycling bin, and then I have the bigger blue, dark blue bin. The Cubs blue is the recycling bin. The bigger navy blue is the garbage bin.
Yes.
It was filled to the top. I was able to get the top just about closed. Roll it all out there on Monday. Come by on Tuesday. And I pulled in the house at 7:30. The recycling bin's empty. The garbage is still there. I'm like, that's odd. He must be running late. I leave it out next morning. Mine and the... One, two, three, four. There's five houses on my street. All five of us didn't get our garbage picked up. The other side of the street did. So I figured, must have gotten dark. He'll be back on Wednesday. No shot. So now I got to take the garbage from the house in the bags, bring it out. Now it's overflowing.
Yeah.
Looks like New York.
Yes. Yeah. Disgusting. Yes.
I call.
Yeah.
We're so sorry he forgot that side of the street. Didn't make the U, the turn.
Yeah.
He'll be there today. No show.
Oh, no.
Call Friday. My wife does. Yeah, he's coming today. Okay. Saturday morning, I wake up. Now it's like six bags of garbage on the side of the garbage can because I can't fit them in. The top is half up. I call, and I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Sir, I've been getting this same song. And you're right. We apologize. He will be there by 3 o'clock today. Still hasn't showed.
Oh, my God. For God's sakes.
So I'm now they come today as the regular garbage day. If he doesn't show today, I mean, oh, my God.
That's personal.
But I'm outside. There's a lady walking her dog.
Sure.
I don't even know her. I just have seen her in the neighborhood. Basically says to me, got a problem taking care of your garbage, huh? Like in a really condescending way.
Pardon me?
And I said to her, garbage man didn't show up. She's like, pick mine up. Like,
you know what?
And I'm like, you know what? I hope your dog bites you. So.
You just let that go. You didn't say anything.
I said he didn't show.
Yeah, but then after that remark, you just let it go?
I could have been a jerk.
You had every right to, by the way.
Right.
You could have hit the
like
jerk
button.
She
didn't say, oh, that sucks. I've been there. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Pick mine up.
Pick mine up?
Having a problem with your garbage? No, not really. Of course I am. Got 40 pounds of it out there. Yeah.
What's it to you? It's none of your business.
Why would she say that?
Keep what it
I
moving.
Can't get over here. Why? Who would say that?
Keep it moving.
A jag. She did.
Kind of a jag.
Yeah. So if this dude doesn't show up today, I'm literally going to load up my SUV, and I'm going to drive it right to Lakeshore Garbage and Recycling. I'm going to drop it off right in front of their door. Here you go.
Yeah,
I did your job for you.
Yeah, every right to do that, by the way. Every right.
I mean, what is this? I pay the bill. Yeah.
You only get one can per village, huh?
Is you get one garbage can. I think, or I don't two. Know. You get one and then a recycling garbage can.
Wow, that's it?
That's it.
I got three.
I guess if I called and said, hey, can I get another one of those big blue ones? But they're big.
Yeah.
And it's just me and Mindy now and the dogs.
Right.
Kids are all out of the house. So
That is a shame. Now, if you roll in there tonight and it still hasn't been picked up, oh, my God. Now it's personal. Now they're doing it on purpose.
Well, so I walked over to our neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and I opened up their garbage can. It was in front of the house.
Oh, God.
To make sure it wasn't like just us that didn't get their garbage was still in there, too.
Mm.
Rodney and Dawn, David and Lisa, the new neighbors that just moved in next door. I don't know their names.
Yeah. Any room to put a bag or two in there?
In theirs or mine?
In theirs.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I could absolutely fill their bin up.
Do-do-do-do-do. Oh, God!
It's a nice young couple. They don't have any kids.
Right.
I don't think any pets.
How about late at night when everything's quiet? Do-do-do.
How about like 4:30 in the morning when I'm outside?
Get your garbage. Boom! Put it right in there. Dunk it in.
Mindy, I got the can closed. What'd you do? Put the rest of the garbage in the neighbors.
They're not taking theirs. Taking ours. We'll take theirs.
Yeah, I just... Lakeshore Garbage Removal Company, whatever their name is.
Bad job.
Bad job.
Could this be conspiracy?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I think I wonder if it's personal.
Where you live, is this an association? Is there like an HOA involved?
Yeah, there's an HOA.
So my thinking now is, with the way this lady made a comment, she's got to be onto something here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if the community is tired of the Kaplans. And
wait a minute.
They've set up, hey, maybe we can boot them if we get them to violate the garbage policies.
No, because my neighbors didn't get theirs picked up either. It's not like he got David and Lisa.
They're getting the whole block
and
out.
Rodney and Dawn. Skip the Kaplans. Get the next two houses. No.
That's just
all of us.
That's unbelievable.
Right. It looks like a street in Brooklyn.
312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Andrew in Lakeview on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Mr. Hood, I just have to ask, as a fellow city resident, do you find these suburban problems funny?
I certainly do.
Okay, good.
The one can, he says, Andrew.
My experience is that more often than not, the gentlemen who pick up my garbage and recycling will then park the empty cans in my parking pad,
mm-hmm.
So that I have no access and I have to get out and move them. If it gets picked up that week, that is. So I'm just I'm just kind of interested in what you think about.
Oh, no, you ain't lying about that. If it gets picked up, that's a question, right? That's not hyperbole. You're hoping that they get it. See, this is why I have three cans, Cap. I'm supposed to have, I think, two at max. I got three. The reason why is because you just never know.
You never know.
In the city, in those alleys.
Yeah, here it is. LRS. Yes. That's the name of the company. Not happy with it.
And, of course, that lady's looking at you like you're some kind of hobo.
Just exactly.
Like you're nasty and you just have... I don't have a problem with my garbage, ma'am.
And then this morning, I'm going to back out and I'm like, what is that in the street? One of the bags, blew open. So I was out there picking up dirty paper plates. Yeah.
What? The bags blew open, you said?
Because it won't fit in the can, and it got a little windy. My wife broke the Amazon boxes down.
Yes.
Folded each one. You know how they fold up?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
And she stacked them in one of the other boxes.
Mm-hmm.
It tipped over, and...
Ugh.
So I'm out in the street, ready to go to work. My car's running. The door's ajar. Okay, this sucks.
If you do not have, if it's not empty tonight, I'll bring you one of my barrels. I'll bring you one of my trash. Because you got to have, you just can't just have them sit there on the curb like that. But you got no other choice.
Yeah, I'm going to call them at the break.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I got to tell you, I don't even know what garbage day is for me. I just walk out of the apartment. I throw the garbage in one of the cans, and I go back inside.
Well, in the city where I am on the south side, it's Thursday.
So Wednesday night you put it out?
Yeah, Thursday. It's supposed to be Thursday.
They pick up Thursday.
Yeah.
So when do you put the cans out? Before work on Wednesday? On Thursday or Wednesday night?
No. My friend, they're already sitting in the alley. I don't have to set them out.
Oh, they're just there.
In the alley.
Got it.
Next to the garage.
The ours are in the garage.
There is a place where you can sit your garbage cans next to our back fence. So they're just sitting there. So when I go through the garage, dump it out, go through the garage, and close it up. It's just sitting there. It's a city. It's an alley. That's what it's for.
Right.
Sometimes they'll get it on Thursday. Sometimes, maybe next week.
Yeah. I'm a little hacked off with them. If they don't show up this time, we're going to have some speaks.
What are you going to talk about here coming up in 1 minute?
I'm going to tell you how you can get an awesome gift for your significant other. That's Pajama Grant.
That's coming up next, and the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day on Cap and J-Hood.